welcome into the Box Score. Terry Collins along with Murphy Fair. And Murphy, we're finally kind of back in the groove of things. I know the Christmas holiday break and New Year's made us wonder what day is are we playing, right?
Well, we had a game earlier this week, and I thought, you know, it's been 6 weeks since we last had a basketball game. Right. That was over talking that one just a little bit, but it did seem very different. But both of our boys and girls teams in Cannon County did real well with wins at Central Magnet in Murfreesboro, and we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Let's go ahead and look at our featured game. Of course, that was Gordonsville hosting Watertown. Randy Jennings and I got an opportunity to do the game at Watertown, and then again last night, and Gordonsville stormed out to about a 16, 18 point lead and had to hold on as Watertown made a late push, got it down to about 3 or 4 points, but after being down by 18, they made a great run, but couldn't get it over the hump. And Lily Brock leads the way with 18 points. She's just phenomenal to be a freshman. She's the coach's daughter. She had 4 trays. Mackenzie Herron with 11 points. She now is only, I think, 5 points away from 1,000 in her career as a senior.
Oh, my.
For Watertown, Followill had 18. Maddie Willard, the freshman, had 11. Of course, they played the game without Macy Braley, who's hoping to return on Friday night when they get district play started. But, Murphy, when you take away your leading scorer, a rebounder, and a girl that started for most of 4 years, that leaves a great hope.
Well, if those things are going to happen, you want them to happen early in the season, hopefully enough time for whatever the issue was to get better and be back. But at the same time, it lets those younger players on the team know that it's my turn to step up and take charge, and so hopefully that happens.
Watertown did play 3 freshmen quite a bit in that ball game. Looking at the boys' contest, Gordonsville got up huge, and then I think it was 22 or 24 points. Watertown got it back down to 4.
Wow.
Started fouling with 6 minutes to go. It took forever and a day. There were 22 second-half fouls against Watertown.
Wow.
Just continued to shoot free throws, somewhere around 35, 40 minutes just for the last quarter. Mm. Jay Foster leads the way for the Blue Tigers, I should say, with 19 points. Aiden Miller with 17. He had 3 threes that got Gordonsville off to the lead, and Gordonsville led the entire way. Carlo Shannon, a double-double, no doubt, 20 points. I'd probably say 12 or 13 rebounds for the Watertown sophomore center. And then Braylon Carruthers and Daceo Carter with 10 points each. Gordonsville hung on 70-61, but I'm sure Greg Bibb, who we'll talk to a little bit later, has some hair falling out or graying because of that.
Well, it's interesting. You know, we've been watching three-point shots for a long, long time, several decades. I don't really even remember when that started and who was responsible, but it sure has changed the game. Teams that are behind can, if somebody gets hot, well, they can catch up in a hurry.
Also in the game for Gordonsville boys at Kamrick Stott, he had 14 points, including some key free throws down the stretch for Gordonsville. Let's go ahead and look at our girls' score. Of course, Gordonsville led in that game at home on Monday night, big against Red Bowling, and I think Red Bowling maybe got it down to 3 late, but Gordonsville gets the win, did not play their best, did not have Lainey Foster, the 8th grader. She was out, had flu earlier, but now Gordonsville out to a 14-2 start, Murphy, the best that they've had in a long, long, long time, probably back in the earlier days when Butch Agee had Brooke Armstead.
Right. That goes back a pretty good ways. But it's really interesting, and looking at these scores on the screen, how close some of these games have gotten. Right. It's pretty neat. That sure makes it for a fun night for the people in the stands.
Let's go ahead and look at the boys. Gordonsville gets the win over Red Bowling, 70-61. Their record now stands at 10-7, does Greg Bibbs. And they've seemed to gotten over the fact, Murphy, that they didn't have their football players and now are progressing and, you know, getting ready for district play, which is a new district basically for them with 7 teams in it and a lot of new teams. And they're going to be traveling quite a bit when district play starts.
It's interesting. 12 automatic games in that region, and then we've got some other four-team regions that only have six guaranteed games.
Yeah, when you look at a four-team district or a seven-team district, to me, I wish it could just be more balanced, Murphy, because I feel like you're penalizing those teams that are in the seven-team district, and you're giving the ones that are in four way too much. And I realize it's in four classifications and geography-wise and all that, but still, it makes it a lot easier for somebody that doesn't have to win a game and you go to the region tournament.
Yeah, that's true, but that's the way it is, and that's how we've got to do it.
Let's go ahead and look at the Cannon County girls. They go over to the old Central High School and beat Central Magnet 54-43. They improved to 6-9. We'll talk to Ashley Patrick a little bit later in the show. But Murphy, that was a quality win for the Lionettes.
That was twice now that we beat Central Magnet, boys and girls both, twice this season. The Stanley girl is really something special. She had 28 points last night, but we still got past them.
Right.
So that's all that matters.
43, that's a lion's share of the work for sure.
Oh, without a doubt.
Go ahead and look at the Cannon boys. They continue their great start. They beat Central Magnet Murph 64-50.
Yeah, and 12-2, that's a really great start for them. I'm really excited about how things are going to be for them. Once tournament time comes around, they went to West Tennessee, lost to Obion Central in a holiday tournament, but they beat Trenton Peabody, one of the best teams in West Tennessee, and that's really got Coach Knave excited about what these guys can do.
Let's go ahead and look at the Smith County girls. Of course, they go to Blackman, and Murphy, that they led by one at halftime, 17-16, but then the second half really struggled to score. Blackman had a couple of a good post and a good guard that kind of took the game over, and they win it 45-33. Of course, Blackman's 11-3. That's no shame in losing to them, and they are at the 4A level where Smith County is at 2A.
Yeah, we opened up with Blackman last year, we being Cannon County's girls, and ended up beating them in Woodbury. And then Blackman went on a run late in the season and made some major noise in the state tournament.
Looking at Smith County, they get to win at home over DeKalb County, 61-41. Emery Jones leads the way with 26. She has really been struggling scoring as of late, and it was good to see Emery, the junior who's leading the Lady Owls in scoring, finally get some things going on the offensive end. Let's go ahead and look at the Smith County boys. Another game that was a three-point game at halftime that Smith County trailed, and then the second half just got steamrolled there in the third quarter, wound up losing 61-36, and then they get back on form 77-49. Cooper Williams, 25 points for the Owls. Murphy, in the last five games, he's shooting over 60% from the floor.
Oh my gosh, that's a real threat for anyone that.
He's only a sophomore.
Oh, that's the best part of the worst part,
true.
Depending
that's
what
right.
team you're running.
Smith County beats DeKalb 77-49 to sweep the season series. Let's go ahead and look at Watertown. They played last Friday night. Some teams did, some teams didn't. Their girls get a big win over Trouser County, 60-46. Brenna Price's girls improved to 8-10. They're anxiously awaiting Macy Braley, who's been out with the turned ankle. Let's go ahead and look at the boys for Watertown. They lose a close one to Trouser County, 69-63. Kevin Honeycutt's charges dropped to 7-11. Of course, they did lose, as we saw earlier, to Gordonsville last night after making a big run. But, you know, the best for them is that, okay, there's only four district teams, mm-hmm. and when you look, Murphy, at who they're having to face, it's going to be DeKalb, it's going to be Central Magnet, it's going to be Macon. Only four teams in that. So right now, not that you can throw the records out the window, we really don't do that, but the most important games for them are those six district games that will seed them come district tournament.
And it makes you wonder what's in the mind of 16, 17-year-old boys and girls. you know, how many go into that district tournament thinking, it doesn't matter what we do, we're still going to the region, you know?
Well, so you want to win that first game just where you can host that first round region
sure,
game as well.
Sure.
Let's go ahead and look at the rest of our scores as DeKalb County girls get a big win over Boyd Christian. Out of McMinnville, don't know if they played that in the Bronco Barn or at Smithville, 70-52, and then they lose to Smith County, 61-41, drop to 4-12 for the DeKalb County boys. They get the victory over Boyd Christian, and then they lose to Smith County in that game last night, 77-49. They just kind of fell apart in the second half, did the DeKalb County boys. Well, Murph, we will have Ashley Patrick, a lady that you're very familiar with, when we return to the Box Score, brought to you by Wellworth Bank.
At Wellworth Bank, we believe care makes for better banking. It's what turns transactions into trust and customers into neighbors. To us, people are more than numbers. They're families building futures, dreamers starting new journeys. We believe care should come standard because you're worth it. You always have been. Wellworth Bank, care in common. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Friendly, traditional banking at its best. It's what our customers have learned to expect at Citizens Bank, and we're always happy to deliver, with plenty of options for personal and commercial checking accounts, as well as a variety of loan types. We can help you achieve your financial goals, all with a friendly hometown smile. Citizens Bank, at 407 Main Street and 61 Dixon Springs Highway in Carthage, 70 Cookeville Highway in South Carthage, and 530 Gordonsville Highway in Gordonsville. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
When you look at the big picture, you're really looking at family. Nothing means more to you than their safety. DTC Security gives you the peace of mind to live your life your way, helping you connect what matters most, no matter where you are or what you do.
Your home deserves an all-star defense. For just $49.99, get a system with a touch keypad, 3 window or door sensors, motion detector, key fob, and standard installation.
Helping you live life your way. We're DTC Security.
At Huff and Puff Trucking, it's more than a job. It's the people beside you. People who go the extra mile. Together. Hard work. Real pride. Good people. That's who we are. Huff and Puff Trucking. Driven by purpose. Powered by people. Ready to join us? Visit huffpufftrucking.com to learn more.
And welcome back into the Box Score, brought to you by Wellworth Bank, Terry Collins, Murphy Fair. Always Justin Malden behind the scenes, doing a great job for us. And we've been joined by Ashley Patrick, the Cannon County Lionettes head coach. And coach, I know that you're ready to get back in a routine. I know coaches, or a lot of coaches, are wanting that, where you play on Tuesday and Friday, or at least back in school, and you can be around the kids and get, you know, something a little regular started.
Yeah, we hadn't played a game before last night since the 23rd, and, you know, Abby had been out. She hadn't practiced at all and had the flu, you know, the past week or so, and then the first time we've seen her since the 23rd was Monday. So we weren't sure what last night would look like, but Abby's Abby, and she's always going to be in shape, and she knows how to get over it.
She's a good leader on the floor, as well as being a great athlete and that sort of thing. I noticed last night, though, going into that game, the Stanley girl from Central Magnet is probably the best girl that we've had to face thus far this season, I think. And she had another killer night last night, 28 points, but she didn't have much help from the rest of the other girls.
I've had a lot of players like this. When you're on a team where you don't have much around you and you just feel really a lot of freedom, I guess, when you don't care as much if the ball goes in, you know you're the one that's going to have to take a lot of shots, it seems like it goes in a lot more. You know what I mean? And then it's like when you're on a team where you've got fives that can score, it's like every possession you feel like you take really matters. So it's like, I guess you're more tense when you do shoot the ball. And I feel like she just plays really freely and has a lot of freedom there, and that works out great for her. And yeah, she's a tough guard. She definitely knows how to use her moves and get to the rim.
Coach, when you look at your team, when we met with you earlier, back before Christmas, experience, I know, is something that a lot of these girls did not have. Maybe a little playing time a year ago, but maybe not even meaningful playing time is, you know, when the feet's to the fire. Do you feel like the experience that you've gathered in these first 12 or 15 games has got them at least on the upward rate as where they're, you know, playing their best basketball?
Yeah, and I definitely feel like I have a lot more clarity in what our team can do and what our team cannot do. That was kind of a struggle. I think we were all kind of struggling because, you know, I have a freshman starting for me that I had never seen play basketball before. So I had no clue what she would look like in a game setting or what her strengths and weaknesses were. So it took me a few games just to figure out that with her. And then the others as well, some that hadn't got much floor time. You know, I've had Abby and Ellie, but I've only had Ellie for last year, you know, and she was getting back into basketball. She set out a year and, you know, had a lot of family things that she's went through. And so we've had a lot of just figuring each other out, and I think we're at a point now. I was happy with us after last night. I was happy with us at Christmas. You know, we played a tough team in Innsworth, and it was 10 at halftime. And if you look at their scores, nobody's within 10 of them, really. So I like what we're doing right now, and I think we're figuring each other out a lot more. And we still have a few more weeks until tournament time. So as long as we can keep pushing.
Ashley, tell our viewers a little bit about your game against Oakland. That was a big win during the holiday series. And it's always nice when you can go to a 4A school and come back home with a win. That had to really build momentum as you get ready for district play.
Yeah, and you've been around me a lot, so you probably know this. I really like to play defense, and I really don't like when we don't play defense. So, and defense travels, and I say that a lot. And you're not going to shoot well. And I'll say, when we played Oakland, we did not shoot well. We were 10 to 20%, and that's never a good percentage. But if you can hold the other team from scoring, and that's kind of what we did when we played that game, and it came down to the last 5 seconds, and you kind of put the ball in one of your players' hands that you trust and tell them to go score. I mean, you don't have time to set anything up, and that's kind of what we did, and we ended up not having to go into overtime, and we finished it out on a positive note.
And I think you told me that was the first two-point shot that Abby Alexander hit in the entire ball game with less than 10 seconds to play.
Yeah, she had a hard night that night, but some of my players like that may have an off night, what I love about them is that they still play hard. Even if you're not scoring, she may have had 8 assists, she may have had 5 rebounds. She may have guarded the best player on the other team. I mean, you know, you look at points a lot, but that's not everything about the game. And I just really like to put emphasis on everybody filling their role and filling it the best that they can. And I still thought that night that she played a big role in that game. And then she finished the game out when she needed to.
That's why you're a coach and I'm not.
Coach Patrick, when you look, I know you've only got 6 district games. So you have to sprinkle in a lot of non-district games in order to fill out your schedule, because you don't want to just play once every week or once every week and a half. I know the schedule is more rigid than it was as far as the amount of times you play, but you still got your chief concern, and I don't mean this that the rest of the games aren't important, but when you look, you've got York, you've got Smith, you've got Monterey, that you really have to prepare for, and I'm sure Monterey is a team that you're focused on right now.
Oh, absolutely. And it's funny you say that, because, you know, last night at Central Magnet, me and my assistants were standing there talking about a couple teams in our district, and then one of them started laughing and was like, "You realize we're at Central Magnet right now? We haven't even played this game yet." And I was like, I was like, oh yeah, we gotta play this one too. But and those are important, and those games, you use those games to work on what you're gonna wanna do in your district games. Like, all right, if we wanna play a little zone here, we need to try to throw that in somewhere. If we wanna try this or that, we need to see what that looks like against somebody in a live setting. You know, you can practice it in practice, but until you put fans out there and kids are nervous or you don't know what the other team's gonna do, you don't know their skills, it just makes it more realistic for sure. And I think those games are a good opportunity to practice what we wanna do. And I preach on that a lot, like, we're gonna do what we wanna do. I don't care what the other team does, but we need to focus on what we're gonna do. And we really pride ourselves on that, and we talk about it a lot. So I thought we did a good job on that last night.
Monterey, the team that Cannon County faces this week on Friday night, but then Saturday you have to go to Tullahoma, and that one's going to be an afternoon game. How did that happen that way? I'd like to have more afternoon games on Saturdays if we could, but I'm sure that's a lot of other things have to come first.
You are the only person that has said that. Everybody else has been like, why does this keep happening? And what happened with that was we had scheduled another team, actually, and they ended up having too many games, and we were the last team that they scheduled, so they dropped us, and then we ended up, you know, searching for that one for what felt like 2 months, and so we could not fit it in on a regular game night, so we ended up having to throw that one in on a Saturday, which is fine. As long as we get our games in, we're fine with whenever.
Coach Patrick, with the experience that you had, sometimes as far as the playbook goes on offense and defense, you can't feed them all that you want to give them maybe at the first part of the season. Do you feel like that you've got everything in that you want to put in, and that they have, I'm not going to say absorbed it completely, but at least have a great idea of exactly what they're supposed to do when you call X play or X defense?
I'm going to say no, because I'm notorious for putting in something different the day before a game. I mean, we put something in new today, and, you know, we'll probably look at it. I don't know. It just depends on what kind of defense the teams play us these next few games, but would like to look at it at least once in a game somewhere. Now, I know Matt Farrell sits on every game, and I don't know that he even sleeps. I think he just watches all of our games all night. So,
he's sure not eating, Coach. I'll tell you that. You can look at him.
You can certainly tell by looking at him. He's just looking at Cannon films, I think. And so we might try to sneak, you know, a couple different plays in somewhere, but you do kind of got to throw that in the back of mind, like, these teams are watching a lot of film. Do you want to just do it in practice? Do you want to throw it in the game where you might think, oh, they won't watch all of this one? Or, you know, just making decisions like that. And then also it comes down to what I said. We're going to run it and we're going to do it, and it's going to work because we practiced it. You know, we have to dictate what we're doing. So, I mean, whether they've seen it or not, if you run it the right way, then it can work.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you visiting with us. I know that you're looking forward to the District 6AA race, as we are as well. I think, you know, York's kind of the king of the mountain, and, you know, with them going to the state finals a year ago, I know they don't have Reese Beatty, but they've still got a lot of quality players, and everybody's kind of going to be gunning for them, and best of luck.
Yeah, I agree. We've got two teams ranked in the top 10 right now just in our district, so it should be a fun year for sure.
We've been visiting with Ashley Patrick of the Cannon County Lionettes, and when we return, we'll have Gordonville Tigers boys basketball head coach Greg Bibb. As we remind you, you're watching The Box Score, brought to you by Wellworth Bank.
Why do our customers choose Homeland Community Bank? Because we're committed to providing top-quality financial services while focusing on those personal banking relationships that treat you like the friends and neighbors that you are. From checking and savings to loans of all types, including those focused on business, Homeland Community Bank is truly ready to meet your needs. Contact us today to make the switch to better banking. Homeland Community Bank. Banking by the people, for the people. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Friendly, traditional banking at its best. It's what our customers have learned to expect at Citizens Bank, and we're always happy to deliver, with plenty of options for personal and commercial checking accounts, as well as a variety of loan types. We can help you achieve your financial goals, all with a friendly hometown smile. Citizens Bank at 407 Main Street and 61 Dixon Springs Highway in Carthage, 70 Cookeville Highway in South Carthage, and 530 Gordonsville Highway in Gordonsville. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
At Wellworth Bank, we believe care makes for better banking. It's what turns transactions into trust and customers into neighbors. To us, people are more than numbers. They're families building futures, dreamers starting new journeys. We believe care should come standard because you're worth it. You always have been. Wellworth Bank, care in common. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Here with head coach Greg Bibb of the Gordonsville Tigers here on the Box Score, brought to you by Wellworth Bank. And Coach Bibb, a couple of nice wins for your teams on Monday and Tuesday night of this week over Red Boiling and over Watertown. No, they weren't district games, but still to get wins to try to build momentum as you head into the district slate is always good.
Oh, yes, sir. We're getting better game by game over Christmas. I don't think we played our best effort against Livingston Academy. We did okay at times early on just to build a lead, and then I thought we kind of sat on it. Went on to beat a pretty decent South Dole team and gave Cookeville a really good fight in the finals of that Watertown tournament. And then Red Bowling coming in, it is what it is. They're a little bit down this year, but we handled what we need to handle. What we wanted going into that game was to be able to at least sit our guys, our main guys, for a half and then have them for the rest of the week, because three games in that first week back is a lot. We were able to do that really in a quarter and a half. So we handled what we need to handle, and then a well-coached Watertown team coming in does a lot of really good things offensively. I thought we defended extremely well, came out and looked as intense as we've looked all year in the first half. Did a great job defensively and really sprinted the ball at the floor and did a great job in transition.
Coach, I'm looking at Terry's scorebook and I see that seven players made points in the ball game, and three of them were in double digits. That's got to make you feel really good that the opposition is not going to zero in on one kid every ball game, and that makes it very hard for them to know who do we need to defend more, the one that scored 25 last week or the one that scored 19 last night.
Yes, sir. That's what we've been harping on in our practices and to our players, is because we know that Jay Foster is going to get the majority of attention. And by doing that, that's going to open up our other guys. And they have to be willing to seek their shot, just hunt their shot down. And at times in the first part of the year, I felt like Aiden Miller, Cam Scott, was passing up some shots that they should have taken. But they took them last night and made it. And they're capable. And that's why they don't need to turn those shots down. And they're going to get those opportunities every night.
The fact that two of those three are going to be back next year too, one back for the next 2 years, that's got to please you too.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And, you know, you only lose one off this team. It's a big one with Jay, but still, we having those guys back and having another year of experience under their belt really is a big thing.
Coach, you come out in that opening quarter, hit five trays. I go up 19-10. Aiden Miller poured in three of those. I thought your ball movement was great. I thought you shared the ball well. You hit gaps. You hit open people. 19 points, no, that's not going to break the scoreboard. But still, the quality of looks that you got, I think, is what Greg Bibb wanted to see.
Absolutely. I mean, we want to be aggressive, but we don't want to force anything. So we want to be intelligent about what we do and understanding how Watertown was guarding us, what one dribble would do for everybody else on the team and on the floor. One dribble would draw about two or three people to us, and then we'd find somebody. And we did a really good job finding those people last night.
5 3-pointers in the first quarter alone, that's got to really demoralize the opposition, I would think.
Well, and you know, the way they came in to play us, like I said earlier, they wanted to put all the attention on Jay. They wanted to put a lot of pressure on him, try to deny him, physical him, and try to get him to react where he has in the past. And we've talked several times about that, and he knows that now, and he knows he's doing a better job handling himself and his emotions when all that is happening and it's not being called. You know, they were expecting us to sit there and look at Jay and try to get Jay the ball. But the guys, Cam and Aiden came up and made some big shots. Isaac finished things around the basket. So did a really good job handling that.
Coach, you're up 32-19 at half. You push that up to 22 points there in the third quarter. And then we saw a lot more aggressive on offense and defense Watertown team that got it down to 3 or 4 points there in the fourth quarter. They weren't just kind of dribbling with no purpose. They were kind of putting their head down and driving it hard to the hole.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's our fault for allowing that to happen. You know, they're going to the rim, and we're kind of getting out of their way. We have an opportunity, about 3 or 4 opportunities to take a charge as they go in there, and we turn sideways and kind of look like a matador. You take one charge on them, then they're looking for you after they drive in. Now they're a little bit more hesitant when they drive in, but we didn't take any last night. Well, I think Isaac Agee took one, and Waylon tried to take one, and they caught a phantom charge on him. I mean, a phantom block. They did a really good job of that. We went into our 5-out offense, and I think our kids confused that as we're looking to hold it starting early in the fourth quarter. We weren't. We're just looking to open up cutting lanes and driving lanes because we knew they were going to have to get out in passing lanes and really gamble to get back into it.
Coach, I see it looking at the scorebook here too that you guys hit a lot of free throws last night, and I know a lot of coaches maybe don't necessarily treat that part of the game as important, but it looks like your guys shoot the free throw as well as most teams that I've seen this year.
Well, it's starting to get better. It hadn't been good over the very first part of the year, but it is starting to get better. And you know, you build a 22-point lead, you want that, and I told them in the huddle last night, right before we went out for the fourth quarter, this is where we need to develop that killer instinct and want to put them completely away. We didn't do that. We let them stay into it. And you know, while you want to do that, it may have been best that we were in that situation last night in the game that wasn't a district game, but we were having to handle the ball under pressure while they were in full court pressure, and then also make free throws down the stretch. So that may have been the best thing in the world for us, rather than pushing that out to 35 right now and letting the other guys play.
Coach, when you look, your district is different than what it's ever been. When you look at Innovation Academy, you got Joe Burns, you got Nashville College Prep, you got Trousdale County, Merrill Hyde, Knowledge Academies. A lot of teams, maybe with the exception of Joe Burns and Trousdale, that you hadn't played, but Trousdale now has added Gage Gibbs. So they're a different team that you'll be looking at Friday night than normal.
Yes, sir. It's totally different. Adding him to it at somebody like, kind of like a Jay Foster that you got to pay a lot of attention to, because he looks to, when he catches it, he's thinking score. I just got to watching him just a few minutes ago. You're paying a lot of attention to them, and then you got some other guys around the perimeter who can knock down an open shot. I don't know what the names are right now. I just know a little left-hander, number one, that can shoot it pretty well. And then also there's a 23 that shoots it really well on a bigger kid. Yeah, that makes it a little bit more difficult. You know, Innovation is in our district, if you say so, but they don't have a team. But now you throw in Knowledge Academy that you don't know what you're going to get. I haven't been able to watch them yet, but I'm sure I will here in the near future.
listening to that list of schools, half of those schools I've never even heard of because they don't play football. But it looks like you're going to have a navigator in that bus every time you go on the road just to find where those schools are.
Oh, absolutely. And put it in early, too, because going to Knowledge Academy, it's in Antioch, Tennessee, and you're trying to get through there at 4:30 in the afternoon. That could be extremely ugly. We're going to have to figure out what time we need to leave and things like that to help us get there on time.
Do you all generally play a JV game prior to the boys and girls varsity contests?
It depends on the school. I mean, like Red Bullen, they never play JV. Like Trousdale coming up, they will play JV. It just depends on the school and really the year. A lot of the times in single A, you never know how many schools are going to have enough players
sure.
to play JV.
Coach, when you look at these new teams, trying to get film on them, they may not be on huddle. You just have to try to call coaches and try to figure out a game plan. Once you play them once and you see them the second time, it's a little bit easier, but still, that's quite a cumbersome task for you to try to get some knowledge of the other teams.
Yes, sir, it is. What you have to rely on are your past relationships with other coaches that you've worked with in the past that you trust. And then you can find out exactly what they tried to do, whether it was successful, what it was, whether it wasn't, and what was successful and what could be done against them. What's really good is a lot of teams are on huddle. So if they've played them, it's usually on that and we're able to get a look.
It's been hard on people like us too just to get a roster for our playbook. And I've had more than one coach send me a list of names without any numbers. Now, what good does that do anybody?
Sure.
Probably so.
Well, Greg Bibb, we appreciate you visiting with us. Best of luck as you head down the district road now, basically concentrating on that for the rest of the season.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all so much for what you do.
Thanks, Greg.
Greg Bibb, the Gordonsville Tigers boys coach, has been our guest, and we'll have Matt Farrell with the Smith County Girls when we return to the Box Score, brought to you by Wellworth Bank.
Friendly, traditional banking at its best. It's what our customers have learned to expect at Citizens Bank, and we're always happy to deliver, with plenty of options for personal and commercial checking accounts, as well as a variety of loan types. We can help you achieve your financial goals, all with a friendly hometown smile. Citizens Bank, at 407 Main Street and 61 Dixon Springs Highway in Carthage, 70 Cookeville Highway in South Carthage, and 530 Gordonsville Highway in Gordonsville. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Why do our customers choose Homeland Community Bank? Because we're committed to providing top-quality financial services while focusing on those personal banking relationships that treat you like the friends and neighbors that you are. From checking and savings to loans of all types, including those focused on business, Homeland Community Bank is truly ready to meet your needs. Contact us today to make the switch to better banking. Homeland Community Bank. Banking by the people, for the people. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
At Huff and Puff Trucking, it's more than a job. It's the people beside you. People who go the extra mile. Together. Hard work. Real pride. Good people. That's who we are. Huff and Puff Trucking. Driven by purpose. Powered by people. Ready to join us? Visit huffpufftrucking.com to learn more.
Welcome back into the Box Score. We've been joined by Matt Farrell, the Smith County girls head coach, coming off back-to-back nights where they played. Went to Blackman, led by one and halftime coach, and second half, they kind of got hot, and Smith County really struggled. He wound up losing that game, but to a very quality Blackman Blaze squad.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're just another really good team in a long list of good teams we played this year, you know, and we played well enough in the first half to have a chance to win, but third quarter, we just weren't very good in the third quarter. We turned it over early, and they got kind of rattled. And then they seen the ball go through the net a couple of times, made a couple of tough plays, and it's just part of it. When you play good teams, not in and not out, you got to be able to put four quarters together, and we just weren't able to do it that night. So,
Coach, that seems to be something that most of the coaches in our coverage area are very strong about, and that is playing better teams. And there's no better time to do that than the holidays and the early part of the season. You get better by playing better teams, and that's what Smith County's been doing, I think.
Yeah, there was a BCAT poll came out yesterday, Coaches Association poll, and I think we played 24 games regular season, not counting the Christmas tournament. And of the 24 games that we have, I think there was either 14 or 16 of our games are teams that are currently ranked in the top 10. So, I told the girls, I said, hey, if y'all are looking for a gimme or an easy win, you're not going to find it here. Like, that's not, we're trying to win when it matters. And I feel like playing against quality opponents every night prepares you for tournament play when you have to be able to play your best every night. And, we'll see. Hopefully it don't blow up in our face. Hopefully it pays off. I keep telling them they put a lot of work in. We played a lot of quality opponents. And I think when it matters the most, it's going to pay off for them, because we're not going to be in any situations that we haven't been in already. So that's the plan anyways.
Coach, we had Ashley Patrick on earlier, and she says since you're not driving as much now and reside in Smith County, that gives you three more hours a day to look at film. She says you're a junkie on that.
Yeah, we watch a lot of film. I mean, she texted me this morning and said, Central Magnet said you'd be the first one to ask for this film probably before the night was over, and I said I asked for it at 8 o'clock last night. So I mean, we watch a lot of film, and I mean, and I say we, I mean, I watch a ton of film, but our kids watch a lot of film. And if we on Huddle, of course, having access to Huddle is huge, but if I don't have a game film on there, they think it's weird. I mean, they're texting me like, hey, like, why is, York and Jackson not on there, or, York and Watertown or whoever, and they want to see it too. So, it's a, it might be a disadvantage sometimes. I think sometimes you probably can over prepare, but that's just kind of the mentality that our kids have developed, that, we watch a lot of film. We feel like we should always be the team that's the most prepared. That's something that's in our control. And, so I would say she's probably right. We are a little bit of a junkie on that.
Max, that impresses me a great deal, that the girls want to look at that. And that's something that doesn't come just overnight. You just got to keep pounding and pounding and pounding and till it gets to the point, I guess, when they ask, when are we going to look at another film? Would that be a fair statement?
Oh, absolutely. And we've got, and they're a little spoiled, but we've got to the point now where if our game film's not uploaded within an hour of the game being over, they're mad. I mean, they want to watch our game back. Like, we leave Murfreesboro Monday night by 9 o'clock. They want the game uploaded so they can be watching it on the ride home. And it's such an advantage for us, because I can say, like, I mean, I can clip a game and send it in our group message and be like, did y'all see this play? And most of them, as soon as I send it, we seen that play. We were going to ask, what everybody at practice. And, to be honest with you, this group of kids that I have right now has inherited that, because Marissa Stives did it, and Aaron Enoch did it, and Chloe Collins was an absolute monster on film. She would put up 10 or 12 hours, every other day or two. So I used to tell her, I said, you can't be doing much at school because you got 12 hours of game film in the last 3 days. So, it's a blessing for me, because if I know that they care enough that they're spending time on it when they don't have to be spending time on it. So, it's an advantage. And like I said, our kids have kind of bought into that, and they want to watch the film. They enjoy it. They enjoy having that advantage, or thinking they have that advantage and knowing what the other team is going to do. So,
Coach, the game has changed incredibly so because of the internet and just electronics altogether. It's not the same game that it was when we were in school.
Oh, no. Me and Coach Apple were talking today about the difference in, even 20 and 15 years ago. I mean, I can remember driving when I was at Pickett helping Coach Smith and Coach Aminette, I can remember driving all over the state of Tennessee to get VHS tapes of, you know, of the one or two good games that somebody might have played, you know, especially when we got to the big moments, you know, the sub-states and state tournaments. I mean, we would drive all over the state to get game film, and now it's, you know, I have every single game film that York's played this year on our huddle. So, you know, it's such an advantage to be able to access that quickly. And, you know, it, in some ways it made coaches that don't work very hard, it made their life a lot easier, you know, because it's so easy to get. People that weren't willing to drive an hour and a half to get a game film, now they don't have to. But, you know, if you work at it, I feel like you still have an advantage even more so now than ever, because you've got access to every game. You can break it down. You can clip it offense and defense. You can clip individual sets and share it with your team. There's just so much you can do. And I tell our kids, I'm like, if you don't know what the other team's doing, it's on you, because the work is all a lot easier now than it used to be.
Matt, with that said, just very quickly, is York, the girls team, are they as good as they were last year?
I do not think they're as good as they were last year. You just don't replace a Reese Beatty. But they might have a better chance to win a state championship than they did a year ago, because everybody in 2A is pretty, I mean, 2A is pretty wide open. So, you know, last year, Gatlinburg-Pittman was really good. Martin Westview was really good. Gibson County was really good. And all of those teams will still be in the mix, and they'll still have a chance. But I feel like, and I told our kids this, the two teams from our region that get to the state tournament have a legitimate chance to win it. Now, who that'll be, your guess is as good as mine. But I don't think they're quite as good as they were a year ago, but I think that they're, you know, like I said, their chances of winning it may be just as good or better.
Coach, when you look at York, they've beat us 16 times in a row back to 2017, and the last few of those have been heavily one-sided. How do you get the psyche of the girls over the fact that it's York? They play a physical brand of basketball. They always have on the mountain. And I know you're having to make a 90-mile trip up there, but I know you want to be competitive with them.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. Every year's different. And I think a lot of our kids, you know, you never know what might happen Friday night. I mean, the two regular season games kind of are, you know, they're not, I won't say they're practice games, but, you know, we're basically feeling each other out at this point. But, you know, one thing I'll say, and we talked about with the kids, is, you know, last four years, I mean, they've had a Superman cape, you know, hanging in their closet, because any time that the game got really close, Reese just decided to take the game over. And they have really good players now. You know, Rayleigh Werner is probably a three-time All-State kid. I mean, she's been seen everything just about that there is to see in high school basketball. But there's not a Reese that's just able to take it over just about any time that she wanted to. I mean, Terry will remember the year we went to the state tournament. We had them beat here. I mean, we were up like 13 or 15 to zero. And I think she had 17 in the first half after that, right, in like a quarter and a half. So, you know, she just was one of those kids that comes through once in a generation that she could just decide, you know, I'm going to take the game over. And they don't have that now. So I feel like our kids, even though we know York's ranked number one and, you know, all the, you know, they've been to the state tournament a zillion times in a row, it feels like, I think our kids know, like, they don't have that X factor anymore. And so I think that's going to be an advantage for us when we get to the point where we can put them in a tough, you know, our biggest thing is we've got to find a way to put them in a position where they have to make a play. The year we went to the state tournament, put them four times. All four of those games were really close. Played them here last year really close early in the year, but we never have been able to put them in a position where they had to go make a play to win the game. It's always been we had to make a play to win the game. So getting that part switched, that's really the trick. I mean, that's where we're at. And we all, I mean, you know, it's on us to figure out a way to do it. And if you ever do it once, I think it'll, you know, it'll snowball a little bit, but we just got to figure out a way to do it once.
Coach, I know with Emory Jones getting 26 last night, she's been struggling scoring the basketball. Hopefully that propels her to a great finish.
Yeah, I mean, Emory had a really, really good early part of the year. And then we kind of went into a slump. She slumped a little bit, and, you know, we not shot the ball great from three, and that's kind of led to her being more, you know, more easily frustrated, I guess, because she's trying to pick up slack sometimes. And we've really tried to emphasize the last week or two, like, you have to keep making the right play, keep moving the ball where it's supposed to go. Shots are going to go in when it matters. We just have to keep being confident about that. And that puts her in a different spot too, because she's not forcing stuff. When she has to force stuff is when she really struggles. And so, you know, getting her to buy into, like, you just do what you do and let the game come naturally to you. I mean, Emory is a really special talent. She's a really, really good kid, a lot of fun to coach. So, you know, I when she struggles, you know, it's just, you know, me and her have had a lot of conversations about, you know, just, you know, you got to play your way out of a slump. I mean, it's just part of it. If you play basketball long enough, you're going to end up in a slump from time to time, and can't hang your head about it. Can't let it affect how confident you are. I mean, she was as good as anybody in the state through five games, and we feel like she can be that at any five-game stretch. So we're confident in her, and she's confident in herself, and her teammates are confident in her. So I feel like she's going to have a really good end to the year.
Well, Matt Farrell, Smith County Girls head coach, we appreciate you visiting with us, and best of luck.
Yes, sir. We appreciate you guys covering us. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Matt.
We'll have a preview of the upcoming games when we return to the box score, brought to you by Wellworth Bank.
Why do our customers choose Homeland Community Bank? Because we're committed to providing top-quality financial services while focusing on those personal banking relationships that treat you like the friends and neighbors that you are. From checking and savings to loans of all types, including those focused on business, Homeland Community Bank is truly ready to meet your needs. Contact us today to make the switch to better banking. Homeland Community Bank. Banking by the people, for the people. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
At Huff and Puff Trucking, it's more than a job. It's the people beside you. People who go the extra mile. Together. Hard work. Real pride. Good people. That's who we are. Huff and Puff Trucking. Driven by purpose. Powered by people. Ready to join us? Visit huffpufftrucking.com to learn more.
At Wellworth Bank, we believe care makes for better banking. It's what turns transactions into trust and customers into neighbors. To us, people are more than numbers. They're families building futures, dreamers starting new journeys. We believe care should come standard because you're worth it. You always have been. Wellworth Bank, care in common. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
All across our communities, DTC is working hard for you each and every day so you can experience amazingly fast internet no matter where you live.
It's time to bench your bad internet and bring in the real MVP, GigSpeed from DTC. For a limited time, new customers get half off gig internet for 2026.
Call, stop by, or visit us online to sign up. DTC, making a difference where it matters most.
Welcome back to the Box Score. Terry Collins along with Murphy Fair. Wellworth Bank is our title sponsor of the Box Score. And Murph, we're going to look at some upcoming games. A lot of people playing three games a week, which keeps you pretty busy. I guess in football, you got one a week, and then sometimes you got to buy. You got 2 weeks in between games.
Right.
But with the schedule in full thrust now, a lot of teams seeing a lot of action.
I wanted to ask one of our people we interviewed earlier today, what is the limit of games that you can have in a season?
I think it's like 26 or something.
Does that count tournaments over the holidays?
I think, but as far as knowing, I don't. A lot of these teams will be playing close to that many. Let's go ahead and look at the upcoming games, and we'll turn our attention to the Cannon County squads. They go on the mountain, as you say, to Monterey. To play them. Then on Saturday afternoon, they go to Tullahoma. Of course, Tullahoma boys are the defending 3A state runners up. Jason Welch, former Macon County coach, is their coach. And then when you look on Monday Night Murph, a familiar foe, Sequatchie, who is in your football region. And so, you know, I know that Sequatchie girls at least have struggled, and boys to a point. But still, you've got a Friday, Saturday, Monday. So within a 4-day span, you've got three games.
You talked about the guy at Tullahoma. Chad Hibden is the girls' coach over there, and I hadn't seen Chad in a long time. He used to be at Blackman, right, and then went to the college ranks for a few years before coming back to Middle Tennessee. So it'll be a nice homecoming for me just to see those two coaches.
When you look at these three games, Murph, only one of those at Monterey is a district game. You would think Cannon girls and Cannon boys would get victories, but with only six district games the entire season, it's kind of critical that you get wins.
Well, and both of the coaches in Cannon County are notorious for not picking somebody that they can beat by 20 points. They want to put good competition on the schedule, and so consequently, we play a pretty tough schedule, boys and girls, all season long.
Let's go ahead and look at the DeKalb County. What's ahead for them? They'll face Warren County. Of course, Danny Fish, the boys' head coach, used to be coaching at DeKalb County. His son, an outstanding player. They'll have them on Friday night. Then on Tuesday night, an old rival for them, which is now in their region, not in their district, when they go to Livingston. Of course, Livingston boys have really struggled, not been very competitive in very many games. They're playing all freshmen and sophomores.
Playing a lot of young kids because of an episode earlier in the season, and I know that's got to be tough, but that'll pay some dividends in a couple of years.
Let's go ahead and look at what's upcoming for Gordonville on Friday night. They'll play Trousdale County, and Murphy, although that is not maybe the rivalry that it once was, anytime the blue and white and purple and gold get on any kind of athletic field, you can expect a highly contested matchup.
Well, both of those schools are very strong when it comes to football, and not bad in basketball either. It's just a natural thing. They're, what, 25 miles apart, something like that, and should be a couple of pretty good games, I think.
Let's go ahead and look what's ahead for Smith County. They're making the 90-mile track from Carthage to Jamestown. Of course, Smith County girls have really struggled big time. They have lost to York 16 straight times. The last time Smith County won in the series was back on February the 15th of 2017. Of course, York is defending state runners-up from a year ago, and they were 30-6. They did lose Reese Beatty, who is now at Iowa State,
right,
but they've got another outstanding team under head coach Michael Green.
Yeah, girls basketball and softball, too, up there on the mountaintop have always been big deals in Fentress County, and no reason to think it's not that way this year either.
On Tuesday night, the Owls and Lady Owls will be at Bill Randall's gym in Carthage as they host Monterey in another district matchup. Let's go ahead and look at Watertown. They've got three games. On Thursday night, they get to host Livingston. I think they go maybe to Livingston. I think they hosted them earlier in the year. I'm not 100% sure on that. They flip-flopped that because Livingston canceled a bunch of games to start the season. Then they go on Friday night to a tough opponent in Stone Memorial, who is in their region, Murphy. They're not in their district, but they're in their region. And Mike Buck's girls always have a tough squad, and their boys, the Caps kid, he's always been outstanding. I can't remember if he, I want to say he graduated, but that's a tough trip when you go to Crossville.
Yeah, it is. They've always been pretty strong. Cumberland County High School's girls programs used to be pretty strong as well. There's just something about that mountain air, I guess, that makes them tough.
And then you've got Watertown hosting DeKalb County on Tuesday, January the 13th. Murph, when you look, a lot of people getting into the meat of their schedule as far as the district goes. And if you've got seven teams, then you've got 12 district games. If you've only got four, you've only got six. So it's real important, if you've got a smaller district, that you get your wins in the district.
That's why Cannon County has seen a few 3A schools and even one or two 4A schools in the last three or four years. just because you got to find games with somebody you don't normally play.
Well, thank you for watching The Box Score. For Justin Malden and Murphy Fair, I'm Terry Collins. Good night from The Box Score.